Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. You hear a lot in the news today about Japan, and you, like I say, Trent has prayed, your hearts go out to the people. But a lot of people and preachers and teachers and all over the radio and TV are talking about how God's pouring out His wrath. And God is not pouring out His wrath today. He's pouring out His grace. And people that don't rightly divide the word of truth will never see that. And that's what we got to do, is rightly divide the word of truth to see what God's pouring out today. When God pours out His wrath on this earth, people ain't got a clue. There just ain't going to be a few thousand over there talking about ain't got enough body bags. In Revelation, when He pours out His wrath, there might be at the time 7 billion to 10 billion people. We don't know how long the Lord's going to tarry. But folks, there ain't going to be enough body bags in the world. A third of the people die. So God is not pouring out His wrath today. He's pouring out grace. And we're going to look at the Scriptures and believe the Bible means what it says, where it says, and who it says it to. Well, we can learn these things. And like I say, people all over are going crazy in the signs and wonders and times. The Jews require a sign. We walk by faith, not by sight, the body of Christ. Now let's look at these things and see what you think after you look at the Word of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity is a vanity, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, always vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever." So the earth is going to abide forever. That's what the Bible says. "The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and has its place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his" what? "Circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The things that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the" what? "Sun. And there is anything wherefore it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come, but those shall come after." Folks, there's nothing new under the sun, is it? Man, we've had generations and generations pass. Man thinks he's getting smarter in wisdom. It might just be the opposite. I think the Bible says the wisdom of this world's foolishness has been God. And I believe men are getting dumber. I think the more you get away from this book, the dumber you are, and spiritually speaking. And folks, the circuits. People saying all that catastrophe is because God's pointing out His wrath. It's not. It's Lord, like He whirls the circuits and things happen. Like if you build your house on sandy ground, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. It's like at the beaches. You know, every year there's hurricanes, but what do people do? They run out there and build their houses right there at the sand and say, "Oh, God's pouring out His wrath." God is not pouring out His wrath. He's pouring out His grace. But people got to have a little common sense. Now, what happened in Japan is no fault of their own. Now, the world's going to let you know that, oh, they're Buddhists and they're this and that and the other. There are ambassadors over there that are saved, that Japanese people. There are ambassadors for Christ all over the world today. And God is not pouring out His wrath. In Matthew 5:45, you don't have to turn there. It says it rains on the just and unjust. Things happen to good people and bad people. Why? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. Amen. Through the fall, look in Romans chapter 8. We all live in a sin-cursed world, and anything's capable of happening. Go to Romans chapter 8. You know, if something bad happens to you, say, "Oh, God's chastising." God loves you. God takes care of His own. I know that. But man, things happen. And it's not always God's fault. Everybody wants to blame God. If you get cancer, it's God's fault. If you get this, it's God's fault. If you get that, it's God's fault. God is not fault. I mean, you're talking about great love where He loved us. He gave His Son to die for us. What greater love is there? We live in a sin-cursed world. We have sin nature in us, and things decay. And look in Romans chapter 8 if you ever get there. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. it says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So there are sufferings, isn't there? And this is, of course, doctrinally. You're going to suffer for Christ's sake. Look at verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who have subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself all shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole what? Creation groaneth and trembleth in pain together until now." The whole world groaneth. I mean the world, the animals, the planet. Why? Because we're in a sin-cursed world. Just think, before Adam fell, how great the world was. Without sin, man didn't have sin. The world wasn't rocking and shaking, and you wouldn't have vines, and you didn't have weeds. And I mean, I got to spray my yard for weeds every year. We didn't have all that before the fall. And it says the world groaneth. Verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption with the redemption of" what? Our bodies. These old vile bodies, what? Fall apart. We groan. We're waiting to be changed. Our glorious bodies be fashioned like the Lord's body. Our vile body shall be changed, fashioned like His glorious body. We groan. We get cancer. We get diseases, heart failures. We get all this stuff because of the sin-cursed world. Look in verse 24. "For we are saved by" what? "Hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we've seen not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our" what? "Infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that" what? "All things, good, bad, ugly, it don't matter. And we know that all things work together for the good and them love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So anytime you have a friend or saint having cancer or any kind of things, there's reason. God's will's still there. Things bad happen to good saved people. But God said, we know that all things work. I think about Vince, your father. You know what happened through something horrible happened? I mean, we miss him, but we know he's going to be with the Lord. He's sleeping in Christ. Our lady got saved through his death. So we know all things work together for them to love God. So, you know, if I die tomorrow, folks, I hope and pray that God uses my death through my testimony to save somebody. So that's what it's all about, is salvation, and all things work together. Well, good, bad, ugly, whatever you want to call it, all things. And this world is under a sin-cursed world. And go to Romans chapter 5, we'll see that. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And here's where it came from. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have" what? "Sin." Sin is what causes people to die, folks. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even others that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not at his defense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, that abound unto many." And verse 16, "And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one condemnation, but the free gift is by many offense unto justification." Verse 17, "For if by one man offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall be reigned life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to" what? "Condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Folks, by one act is the reason we got this sin-cursed world. And bad things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people. We're all sinners. We're all rotten, stinking, gifted up sinners. So there ain't none good. The Bible says none good, no, not one. So that's the reason we have what we have today, is because of one bad act. But thank God. Look in chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But this is the part I love. But. I love the buts in God's Word. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have eternal life today because of God's grace. God is pouring out His grace. I can't say it enough. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is pouring out to everybody that's listening to my voice. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for all your sins, buried, rose again for your justification. Only thing you have to do is believe the gospel and you can be saved. And God's not pouring out His wrath. Later in the future, God will be pouring out His wrath. But it's not to the body of Christ. We're ambassadors again. So is God pouring out His wrath to Japan? I said, no, He's not. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Why is not God pouring out His wrath to people like in Japan or San Francisco or wherever they want to name it? Every week they jump on some wagon about God's pouring out His wrath. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll show you why He's not pouring out His wrath. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am and what? Ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Take us, my beloved brother and faithful minister, in the labor shall make known to you all things. But my verse is 20, for which I am an ambassador. Folks, we're ambassadors. Like I said, there's ambassadors over in Japan. God's not going to pour out His wrath on what? Ambassadors. When we go to war, what's the first thing they get out? Ambassadors. Folks, God ain't going to pour out His wrath on ambassadors. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Same principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech ye by us. We pray ye in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. We're ambassadors. I think about what Robbie said the other day to me. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. Folks, we're not part-time ambassadors. We're full-time ambassadors. Half the time, we think we should be part-time ambassadors. I think about work. Now, I believe you should work when you're at work. But, folks, there's times at work that you can share the gospel with people. We have breaks. We have lunches. They can talk about what they done over the weekend or how drunk they got. So why can't we take opportunity to share the glorious gospel with people? We're ambassadors. We're not part-time. We're full-time ambassadors for Christ. And that's what we have to do as ambassadors. What does ambassadors do? Lift up a country or whatever. Well, we got a job to do. We speak highly of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're representing. Look in verse 20. Now then we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We're ambassadors for Christ's sake. Christ is not here earthly today. Guess who He sent? Christ in us, speaking for the Lord. We're telling people that Jesus Christ loved you and died for you and buried and rose again the third day. And that's what we're doing. And that's what it's all about. So like I say, before ambassadors, before war breaks out, like people saying that God's pouring out His wrath, He pulls out His ambassadors. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Somebody's not happy, are they? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For God hath not appointed us to what? Wrath. But obtain the salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify another even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them verily highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Folks, we're not appointed to wrath, are we? We're appointed to God's grace. 2 Corinthians, I should have told you to hold on, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. Look in the next verse right below it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You want me to show you God poured out His wrath on? His Son. You want to know where the wrath was poured out on our behalf? His precious Son. Look in verse 24. 1. For he, that's God, have made him, which is Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous God in him. Folks, God poured out his wrath on his son. I mean, that's where the wrath poured out today. And because he did that, guess what we have? Peace, justification, eternal security, on and on. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. God's not pouring out his wrath in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to show you right here. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, that's what we are, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace. Folks, we're in a dispensation of grace. Why do you think they call it grace? Unmerited favor. God's pouring out his grace in this dispensation. And he's not pouring out wrath. Now we're going to look at a few things right quick, and because people are stubborn and hard-headed. But I want to show you, in Paul's epistles only, what we have because of God poured out his wrath on his son. Every verse, and we're just going to go through them real quick. And next week, this wasn't very short because next week's going to take a while. So I'm going to make it long next week. I might let you out early today. But next week, it's going to be longer because I want to compare it to you. There's so many verses about we're looking for signs and wonders and this and that. And Matthew 24 and show you it's a total different thing than the rapture compared to second coming. And that's why everybody, I mean, I talked to a preacher this week and I went to his church Sunday, got invited. And he said, oh yeah, the signs and times and wonders and all that. And I'm going to show you why that you're not a Jew and we don't require signs or walk by faith, and we'll get more into that. But let's look over this. It'll take a few minutes to do this. Go to 2 Corinthians, and I'm just going to go through some about 8 verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And you can be dumb as a bag of rocks and get this. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to get this, what God's pouring out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go to verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from the God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he saying there? Grace be to you and what? Peace. Does that sound like wrath? Nope. Go to Galatians. So we did them in order. Paul wrote 13 books, and every one of them he does this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from the God, the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our what? Sins, that we might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and to our Father. He's going to deliver us from what? This present world. So is he pouring out wrath if he's going to deliver us from this evil world? Now, he's going to destroy this evil world one day after the ambassadors are gone, the body of Christ. But he's not pouring out his wrath because verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace. Try again for the stubborn people. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe. And I might have wrote that wrong. Nope, I did. Ephesians chapter 1. Sorry about that. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you're in heavenly places, folks, are you blessed? It said we have all spiritual blessings. There's peace and grace again. Mark it in your Bible. Let's try Philippians. You think after 13 books people get a grip on Paul's writings. Philippians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 2. Grace be unto you and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. There it is again, grace and peace. You first have grace, and guess what you get next? Peace. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to have peace, folks. You're not going to have to worry about it. You're not going to have to wring your hands about it. You can just trust Christ, your Lord and Savior, and have total peace. Like I say, when I trusted Christ, my Lord and Savior, 21 years ago, March 11th, I could lay in my bed and just had the most peace. Slept like a baby the night I trusted Christ, my Lord and Savior. And sleep like a baby ever since. because I don't wring my hands and think, did I do enough to be saved? Did I say the right thing? Do I know enough scriptures? I thank God that He died for a rotten, stinking sinner like me, and I can be saved by God's glorious peace and grace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and there it is again, peace from the God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. A couple more. Go to 1 Thessalonians, verse 1. Paul, Silvanotheus, Timotheus, unto the church of Thessalonica, which is God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in all our prayers. 13 books, you think, you know, just boom, boom, boom. And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. It's just, that's the way God made Paul open it up. He didn't say, hey, wrath to you if you don't do right. Wrath to you if you don't, you know, you're over here in Japan because you worship another god. Wrath to you. He's not saying that. And we're going to show you another great verse after these two more. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. So he's got a son in the faith, does he not, Timothy? He didn't have children probably, but that's his son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and what? Peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not leave out Titus. That was his other son in the faith. Last one, and we'll stop. We'll go on to something else. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go down to chapter 4. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So there he says, grace, mercy, and peace. Without God's grace, we wouldn't have mercy and peace. Thank God for His glorious grace. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, folks. The reason we have peace and grace today is because the verse I read is probably one of my most favorite verses, and I probably use it more than anything in your Bible. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto Himself, imputing their trespasses. Does it say imputing His trespasses and wrath? Don't say that, does it? It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. You think Japan's in the world? Yeah, they are, ain't they? It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses. Write it down. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, being reconciled to God. Folks, God is pouring out His grace. Only thing them poor people in Japan need to know, God loved you and died for you. Buried and rose again the third day. That's the greatest news I can give them people. I know we need to give them water and food, but the greatest thing outside of that, the most important thing out of that, is the gospel. Because you can have all the water and food in the world and die and end up splitting hell wide open. You know, people put their points on physical. My life and thing is on spiritual things. I want people saved. I know people are suffering all over the world. And we need to pray for them. We need to help them. But the greatest thing I can give somebody is the gospel. The greatest thing you can give somebody is the gospel if you love them. That's why it's so important to rightly divide this book. Because God's not pouring out His wrath. And guess who makes it look like the bad guy? God. That's why people that are lost don't have confidence in God. They say, look at him. He's a big bully up there in the air picking on Japan. That's the way the world presents you. No, he's a God that loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for people in Japan, America, Russia. I don't care. You know, I hate to break their heart. America's just as wicked as any country in the world. I love America, and I'm glad I'm here to preach the gospel. But America's just as wicked as any country in the world. Don't let this world fool you. They're just as wicked as anybody else. They're just religious And religion is just as wicked as anything else. It's not saving people. And the greatest thing to save people is the gospel. And that's why it's peace. What is over there? It says the men of God, their feet are shod with the preparation of peace. They're going to give you the good news. Peace, glory, mercy, grace. Two more verses we'll call them tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll take up next week and we'll get in a lot more because I'm just laying the groundwork. But next week we'll really get into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Let's go to 21 first. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So this world's foolishness to God, isn't it? So when these nuts say what they say about God, foolishness unto them. It says, by the wisdom of the world knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And folks, the only thing to save people is preaching. Preaching the gospel, telling them the good news. For the Jews require what? A sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Folks, the Jews require a sign. Me and you don't require a sign in the body of Christ. The Jews require a sign. And guess what? Matthew 24, which we're going to get in next week, is sign city. They can do the earthquakes and the pestilence and all that. Newsflash. The rapture is going to happen for the second coming. And that's got to do with second coming tribulation. We got a pile of scriptures to cover next week about it. But Jews require a sign. Look what we... 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we've been burning that up tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See what the body of Christ does. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by signs. Is that what that verse says? Nope. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Folks, everything we have is by faith. Christ died for us on the cross by faith. We walk by faith. We trust the Lord to supply our needs by faith. Everything we have is faith. Without faith is what? Impossible to please who? God. What's the other one? It's something about sin. Without faith, it's sin. And folks, faith is the most important thing we got. I've never seen God. I never heard God speak audibly. But I can get in this King James Bible and know that He is God and He speaks through me through the Word of God, and I don't need signs and I don't need wonders. The greatest sign God ever gave me is a rotten, stinking sinner like myself got saved by God's grace. You want a sign today? Got the gospel of Christ, where it's the power of God. People's wanting power, miracles, and signs. The greatest sign there ever will be is Christ died for rotten, stinking sinners like me and you. That's the sign I'm looking for. And then all the signs and earthquake. They can have earthquake every day. It's not going to shake my faith because I believe this book. I'm looking for the rapture. That's the next thing on the scene for the body of Christ. When that last person gets saved and trusts Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, that's when we're out of here. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And the more you get in this book, rightly divide this book, the more you can grow. But if you get away from this book and fellowship and all that, you're going to be tossed to and fro, and the world's going to get you, and you're going to get caught up in TV and like, ooh, there are signs. I'm telling you, perilous times are coming, so get in the book and believe the book. Every man what? A liar in God's truth. This book is truth, so trust it, believe in it. And next week, Lord willing, we'll get into signs and wonders and miracles, and that's not to the body of Christ. And we'll get into all that next week. Thank you. Yeah, Sunday I got